Happy Palm Sunday, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the NPFCC Messages podcast. You're in for a treat today as guest pastor Rudy Haygood brings a unique and potent message on Jesus' countercultural entry into Jerusalem. Rudy gives us a clear picture of the real King we worship today. We hope you're encouraged and uplifted by his words.
The King is coming! The King is coming! Hosanna! Someone shout Hosanna! The King is coming! Oh, come on, somebody! Hosanna! Hosanna! The King is coming! And the King is here! Yes, 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 yes. And he came in peace to bring us peace. Amen? Palm Sunday is a day of celebration. Do you see my palms? You see my palms? I wore this just for you. You see my palms? It's Palm Sunday. Let's celebrate the great King. Amen. 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 And we must remember he came in peace to bring us peace. I am obviously taller than Ken because this is way down there. This is way down. Today we remember not just our Lord's, our King's entry into Jerusalem from the past, but we also foreshadow our entry into the new Jerusalem in our future. See, this is a day of celebration. To give us a little context for where we're going, John chapter 12 begins with Jesus returning to Bethany to see Lazarus. Yeah, the Lazarus, the resurrected from the dead Lazarus. And Jesus is going there to spend time with him, and Martha is there, and Mary is there, and Mary is anointing Jesus, preparing him for his burial, preparing him for the cross. Her celebration of the Christ, though, was held in contempt. See, some of the leaders, the Pharisees, didn't want this Jesus celebrated, and even those in the inner circle, Judas in particular, did not want him celebrated. And he said, why are you worshiping at such expense? Like, why are you going all out? We could have used that energy. We could have used that expense elsewhere. How dare you worship God with all that you have is basically what they were saying. See, the jar of perfume was Mary's prized possession. We could say it was sacred to her. It was a display of her giving all that she had. And if that wasn't enough, she literally wiped his feet with her hair and her tears. She was giving him all that she has, because how many of us know that worship is expensive, that we should not worship God with that which cost us nothing, that worship is giving God your all. And as we celebrate on this Palm Sunday, don't be cheap. See, my friends, worship happens. Worship happens when you care so much you don't care. You don't care. Why y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about? See, when you was trying to get her number and trying to get her to go out with you, you didn't care. You know what I'm talking about. When it's real, you don't care. You don't care who's looking. You don't care if that's not how they do it. You don't care who's watching. It's an all-out celebration and expression of what's going on the inside. Anybody with me? Now, y'all was just worshiping a second ago, so I know what's in there. Anybody with me? Yet in the same context of this expression of worship, the Pharisees are plotting to kill Jesus. And they are plotting to kill Lazarus because people were following Jesus because they heard about the resurrection to life. Did you hear that? People were following Jesus because they heard about the resurrection to life. I don't think y'all heard me. See, because when our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors hear about the resurrection to life in our life and they see the resurrected life, they're going to want to know, who is he who resurrects life? I don't think y'all hear me. I want to talk. Can I have your attention for a few moments as we talk from the title, Unexpected Arrival? Hey, your king is here. Hey, your king is here. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't thank my good friend, my buddy, Pastor Ken. Can you give it up to Pastor Ken? Ken is the man. Ken, anytime I'm in need, Ken is always available. Very grateful to Ken. And Devin, where's Devin? Devin is the man. I mean, how many associate pastors can sing like that? I'm just saying, that's rare. That's rare. And then y'all don't know this, but y'all owe me a debt. Y'all do. Y'all owe me a debt, and I'll be in the back after church, and I Cash App, Zelle, whatever. Because there was a day when Peter and Lindsay were looking for a church, and Peter called me, and he was like, "What church do you think?" I said, "Check out Newberry Park." Did I not? I said, "Check out Newberry Park," and he's up in this building. So I'm just saying. I'll be in the back. You can thank me back there. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
That's basically saying that's all you're going to get. Get on out of here. But this is it, y'all. Can I say y'all? My folks is from Alabama. I'm from L.A., so I'm West Coast Alabama. So I go in and out. So can I say y'all over here? All right. This is it. This is it. This is the day. This is the execution or the beginning of the execution of God's redemptive plan. This is it. This is it. And it parallels. It is a remnant, a picture of Psalms 118. As they prepared for their deliverance by singing these songs to God as they prepared for the Passover. Y'all know that Psalm 118, verse 24? Y'all know that? This is the day. Y'all know that? Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day. Yeah, all right. That is Psalms 118, verse 24. That is the song that they would sing as they prepared for the Passover, their deliverance. Palm Sunday is an image, a picture of what they did as they prepared for their deliverance, because this is the beginning of God's execution plan of our deliverance. We are now doing the same thing. And we're like, this is the day. And that's where I got palm branches on my shirt like I'm in Kauai or something. See, look at this. Revelation 7:9. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. This is the picture of that day. Come on. Oh, see, y'all. I need you not to miss your cues. I set you up. That was a hallelujah moment, and you missed it. It went right on by. But this is the day. This day is a glimpse of that day. Palm Sunday is a dress rehearsal for the arrival of the King. I don't know if you've ever been in a, a musical or a play or a production, and that last rehearsal, you're so excited with anticipation because you've been preparing, and now finally it's here, and you're preparing for the great celebration.
Yeah.
So
So let's get ready. The King is here, and he's returning, and we celebrate the beginning of the return today. Amen?
Amen.
So here's the big idea today. I've been all excited and emotional, and that's good. I think worship should be filled with emotion, whether it's that deep emotion or praise, that celebratory emotion. It should have some kind of deep emotion. Whatever it is, it shouldn't be meh, meh. But there should be some emotion to it. That said, here's the point today. Don't let the celebration blind us to the cross. Let the cross be the cause for our celebration.
Amen.
It's great to be emotional. It's great to be deep. It's great to be intellectual. But it must be about the cross. The cross must drive us to celebrate. Which is really my first point. Worship is about Christ, not just about the celebration. Let's look at verse 9. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. They want to kill both of them. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. They shouted, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the King of Israel." I sang verse 24, but this is Psalm 118, verse 26. And they shouted these king appellations, or these names for kings. Blessed on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. They're saying the King is coming. See, Jerusalem was the city of the great king, and Jesus was coming into it. He was on his way, waving, and they were waving these palm branches. See, palm branches are the symbols of victory. When we worship, we are celebrating our victory. And they shouted, "Hosanna. Hosanna." Hosanna is a unique and special praise word. It's unlike any of the other words we use for praise, like hallelujah or bless the Lord or glory. It's very different because this one is the only one that has anything to do with us. All of the other praise words are strictly focused on the greatness of God. But Hosanna says that you are the King. That's the praise. And it's saying, "Save me, O King, for you are the only one who can provide and protect me. You are the only one who can keep these borders safe. Hosanna." So they're quoting Psalm 118, 26, and they ascribe these king titles on him, "He who arrives." I like that one. I never call Jesus that, "He who arrives." And "King of Israel, Hosanna." What am I saying? I clearly am comfortable getting emotional. I clearly have plenty of energy, and I get excited about Jesus, and I love to sing songs. Now, man, your praise team, fire. Hey, I love it, and we should get excited and sing praises to God and bring glory to him, and it's okay to get loud. All that is fine. But liking a song doesn't mean you're worshiping God.
Getting excited does not mean that you're worshiping God. They were all there celebrating, waving palm branches on Sunday. And then on Friday, they were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." See, worship is about Christ, not just about the celebration. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. Second point, we are to have right reactions, not just the right reasons. We can't act up just because we're right. Oh, I seen your Facebook. Seen your Instagram and your TikTok. We can't act up just because we're right. We have to have right reactions, not just the right reasons. Listen to what I'm saying. Verse 14, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. Just as it is written, "Don't be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand these things at first. After he was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Jesus came in on a colt, on a young donkey. He didn't ride a war horse. He didn't come in carrying a sword. He didn't have a chariot with wheels. He didn't come in with the carcade. He didn't come in with security. He didn't come in a Rolls Royce, in a limo, in a Beamer. He didn't come in like that. He came in a Prius. Now, if you drove here in a Prius, I'm not taking a shot. Matter of fact, thank you for saving the planet, okay? Thank you. But you know what I mean. He didn't come in grandiose. He didn't come in like this big king soldier conquering. He came in on a young colt. See, warriors rode in on horses and carried swords and wore crowns. Jesus did not come to bring war. He comes to bring peace. And shouldn't his followers come to bring peace as well? He had rejected the role of a political Messiah from chapter 6, verse 15. But they thought maybe now Jesus would finally get political. Jesus would finally now become their conquering king. They thought now was the time to destroy them because we're right. Some of you are saying, "Well, I thought Jesus was a revolutionary." He is, but for the hearts of men and women and children. Some of you are saying, "I thought Jesus did not come to bring peace, but a sword." He did bring a sword, but the sword is the word of God, meant to carve the image of Christ into the hearts of men, women, and children. It's not just about being right. It's about having the right reaction. If I checked your social media right now, would they say, "Yeah, he came on a donkey," or would they say, "He came on a horse"? It's not just about being right. It's about acting right. See, Micah 6:8 tells us this: do justice. Amen. But I think sometimes we stop right there. It also says, love kindness and walk humbly. Is that not our Lord? He did justice. We need to care about what's right, politically, socially, internally, familially, in our family. We should care about what's right. But we should do it kindly and humbly. We are to have right reactions, not just the right reasons. Amen? Amen. Amen. My final point, being in the right place doesn't mean we're in the right space. Verse 17, the crowd who had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead were testifying about him. That's why the crowd came to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign that he had done. They heard about Lazarus, and the crowd showed up. Therefore, the Pharisees said to each other, "See, you've accomplished nothing. Look, the whole world is following him." The Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus, kill his reputation. The Pharisees wanted to kill Lazarus, destroy the very thing that was bringing attention to the Christ and causing Jews to convert and become Christian. And I just want to say this, whenever you do right and function exceptionally before God and begin to have success, expect a Pharisee to be upset. It's just part of it. That was free. So don't get mad. Don't be hurt. It's coming. See, y'all think I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to me right now. I'm preaching to me. It's part of it. When you bring glory to God, there are going to be those trying to tear you down. It's part of it. All right, here's the point here, though. Everyone's in the right place. A few are there because they truly follow Jesus. So they're there. Many are there because they heard about the miracle about Lazarus. Looky-loos are there. Some are there because they are plotting to kill Jesus. They're there. Some are there because they are plotting to kill Lazarus. Everyone is in the right place. And all the Pharisees could see. Sometimes I wish we didn't call them Pharisees. Because all a Pharisee is, if we change it contemporarily to today, would be church leader. That's all it is. Leader. These were the leaders of the people. And the leaders wanted the glory that God was getting. That's the problem. They claimed to be doing it for God, but they really wanted the glory for themselves. And the reason why I don't like it, sometimes we miss it. When I say Pharisee, I can go, oh, that's them. When I go leader, if I lead guest services, that's me. If I'm on the worship team, that's me. If I'm in the children's department, that's me. If I'm an usher, that's me. We have to be careful that we aren't serving Christ for the sake of serving ourselves. Amen? Amen. But again, everyone is in the right place, but very few are in the right space. They have the event band on. They got their hands stamped. You know how you go and they stamp your hand. You were there. They had the palm trees in their hands. They had proof because they had splinters in their hands. You could see I was there. I got evidence. Oh, I need to get real. Y'all don't hear me. They were at church. They were there with the palm trees at church singing the songs, saying hallelujah, falling to their knees, serving. They were there. Matthew 12:39 says this, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign." See, sometimes, and there's nothing wrong for asking God to show you a sign. There's nothing wrong by being amazed at the works of God. See, but sometimes, at some point in our life, hasn't he already done enough? Shouldn't he no longer have to prove to you that he is the Lord?
At some point, shouldn't your maturity say, if you never bless me again, I will serve you with the rest of my life, with every breath, with every ounce, with all that I have, because you are good. Not because I need you to do something else, because of who you are. He wasn't caught up in the politics that they wanted him to get. Okay, what am I trying to say? Yes, God cares about what you're going through. It's not what I'm saying, because you say stuff like this and people think, well, Jesus don't care about me right now. Oh, he cares. He cares about the politics, that we do right by one another. He cares about the social issues. He cares that we do right about for one another. He cares about your eternal stuff. He cares that you are healed, that you are right. Yes, he cares about all of those things. God cares about what you're going through, but he cares more about who you are. He cares more about who you are. And if you are the right person, you will do politics right. If you are the right person, you will do social issues right. And if you are the right person, you will focus on your healing so that you might be a blessing to others, not just for selfish reasons, so you can live for 120 years. You see what I'm saying? Being in the right place doesn't mean we're in the right space. I walked in with O'Sheree. That is the finest woman in this building. That's not debatable. And I am in love with her more today than I was over 28 years ago. I am. But y'all don't know that. You know what I'm saying? Us walking in holding hands doesn't mean we're in the right space. Holding our hand is the right place, but it doesn't mean we're in the right space. We have to be careful that we don't mistake our position in Christ for passion for Christ. Amen? Being in the right place doesn't mean we're in the right space. Let me close. Palm Sunday reminds us that a week before Jesus was crucified like a criminal, he rode into the city as a king. He's the king. He's the king. Why is that significant? That's not some criminal on the cross. That's royalty on the cross, sacrificing for us criminals. As much as they celebrated that day, that celebration didn't last. The crowds who waved palm branches yelled, "Crucify him," just 5 days later. And as they celebrated waving palm branches, as they celebrated singing beautiful songs, they missed the cross. And in all of our celebration, and I believe we should celebrate like crazy, don't miss the cross. It's tragic to see the Savior arrive and not recognize him for who he is. He is the Son of God, the King. Can I remind you something? Palm Sunday is just a dress rehearsal. We're just practicing. We're just getting ready for Revelation 7:9. And there will be a day where all of us will rah, rah, rah with palm branches in our hands, with all nations, with all languages, people from all tongues, but not just all languages, nations, and peoples and tongues, but people from all time. I'm going to get to worship with my great-grandma. It's going to be unbelievable. So let's get ready. Let's get ready. Hosanna, the King is coming. Hosanna, the King is coming. And don't let the celebration blind us to the cross. See the cross. See the risen Savior. See the King on the cross. See your sins as the cause for him being on the cross. And that will allow you to cry and to kneel and to celebrate and to scream glory, for he is worthy of praise.
This is it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the beginning of his execution of the redemption plan. This is God saying, I'm coming, Rudy. I'm going to save you. I'm coming, O'Sheree. I'm going to save you. I'm coming, Newberry Park. I'm going to save you. I'm on the way. I'm on the way. Your king is coming. To the triumphal entry. It's an unexpected arrival. He's not what we thought he was. He's more. He's more than we can imagine. The king on a donkey. Who would have thought it? What does it mean that Jesus is here? What does it mean that Jesus is here? Alone ain't alone no more. Oh, that's the country part. He ain't alone. I'm never alone, for he is with me. Jesus is in me. I am a temple of God. I'm never alone. What does it mean that Jesus is here? Happiness is no longer based on happenings. Happiness is no longer happy. Happy is joy. It's something inside my soul. It's inside me. It's who I am. When I'm sad, I got joy. When I'm happy, I got joy. When I'm bored, I got joy. I'm always... What does it mean that he is here? Worry is now trust. Oh, I can't find my baby. Lord, it's really your daughter. Will you be with her and help her and bring her on home, God? See, I got 7 kids. I prayed that prayer. And every time, God has brought her home. Yeah. Some of y'all ain't got no kids. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's something your kid. You... Somebody knows. Somebody knows. He came in peace to bring us peace. Amen. This is the divine execution of our redemption. Yes. So let me end with and transition us into a time of communion with a question. Yes. What is your jar of perfume? As we prepare to commune with the one who poured out all for us, what is your jar of perfume? What is God asking you to pour out right now? As you prepare to consume the one who poured out everything for you and everything for me, what is that thing that you still need to pour out and leave at the cross that you might come to him and have this communion, this holy community, this holy moment with God? He who is righteous is saying, come on, come on. And I'm asking you, what do you need to pour out? For when he went to the cross, he didn't hold back. And when they pierced him on the side, he literally poured out salvation onto the earth. Amen? What will you pour out? What do you need to pour out? What is your jar of perfume?
Thanks for listening to the NPFCC Messages podcast. If you'd like to support the work of our church, head to npfcc.org/give to make a one-time or reoccurring gift. For more information about us, you can always check out our website at npfcc.org. Again, that's npfcc.org.